sex, and happiness.
Both enrich our lives, change our lives in ways that make life worth living. Yet it's surprising how few people can honestly say that they enjoy regular and fulfilling sex or describe themselves and their lives as happy. Want you to make me feel like I'm the only girl in the world. Like I'm the only one that you'll ever love. Host Lori Handlers helps you to explore, learn about, and most importantly, have great sex. And in the process, she helps you to experience real intimacy and happiness.
Sex and happiness.
You'll laugh a little, learn a little, and we hope put a smile on your face and a smile in your life. Now here's Lori.
Hey, here we are with another Sex and Happiness show. I'm so glad to be here, and I'm really excited about today's topic. My burning question for you today is about the price we pay for sex. Is sex ever really free? You know, I'm asking you to look into yourselves and answer honestly if you trade any part of yourself for sex. What are your feelings about paying for sex, or sex instruction even, or sex classes even? What judgments do you have about this, and where do they come from? My guest today is Bhakti Iyada. She's a high priestess, and she's a photographer. She's an erotic arts instructor, and she also says that she's an attitude adjuster. And I had to laugh when I saw that little part of her bio, because I think sex and sex work does adjust our attitude. It makes us happy. I actually got an email this week from one of my students in New York who said that as a result of a class she had with me where she learned about female ejaculation, which we're not going to really talk about today. We can talk about it maybe next time. But she's walking through the streets of New York happy, and she feels the magnetism that she's drawing from people as she walks through space in New York. So how is this possible? How is attitude adjustment possible, and what is this trading off for sex? That's what we're going to talk about today with Bhakti. So Bhakti, welcome to the show, Sex and Happiness.
Thanks, Lori. Thanks. I'm glad to be here.
I'm glad to have you here. I invited you here because I read a piece that you wrote, a blog that you wrote a few weeks ago about people with attitudes about trading off for sex. You question some men, I think, in your life. You question some men who could be potential clients for you or whatever, and you ask them, you know, if they ever paid for sex. Before we get really into that, we got to do some defining here, because people listening are not going to know what a high priestess is. So can you tell us a little? And then we'll get into, you know, the philosophy of what you were talking about, because it was so right on. So what exactly is a high priestess?
Well, in our definition, in the group of sisters that we all call ourselves high priestess, we've gone through our distinct levels of initiation to get here. But basically what it is, we all study the erotic arts, and it's not just studying them, but we teach them too. And I think actively teaching is different one-on-one than it is teaching in a classroom environment.
Absolutely. I mean, I teach mostly in a classroom environment, so I don't do a lot of one-on-one. I do a little bit of one-on-one, but you're really speaking about people who come in seeking one-on-one instruction in erotic arts, yeah?
Yes, absolutely. And you know, we've come up, there's a group of us, we've discussed this at length for a very long time, and a couple things that have come up consistently with us and why we call ourselves priestesses and define ourselves that way is because we live our life sexually awake and sensually awake and deepen in our femininity. And studying the erotic arts gave us that launching pad in order to go deeper into that. And it's really interesting because we've tested this over and over again, and you can always see somebody responds, how men particularly, but women too, respond to us the more we go into that space and hold our sacred feminine and are not afraid of being sexually awake in public. It's not like we do something. It's not like we're doing some action out there. We're just awake.
And you don't run through, you don't go through the streets streaking or whacking people like right. Bette Midler was famous for with the Queen.
Right, exactly. No.
Although when you say that, I mean, I know what that means, kind of, but, you know, I don't, when you say, I mean, if you, we can drill down a little deeper. When you say, we hold our feminine space and we're erotically, sensually and sexually awake in public, what really does that mean? Does that mean that you giggle a lot? I mean, what does it mean?
Well, not being afraid to be a woman in whatever that looks like.
Okay.
In her feminine space. However that manifests, which means if she feels like being, you know, her stronger or more intense with some situation, but saturating herself in who she is as a woman, not trying to minimize it and pretend that we're androgynous and, you know, be like men. We're not like men. Men are men, women are women, which means if you saw a group of us out, we're distinct. We have our distinct style, but we also do, we are not afraid to reveal our sensual selves, accentuating our persons or our bodies or, you know, adorning our bodies in any way we want and being us, basically, to the best of our ability. And I say that in contrast because for a lot of my life, I minimized. I was in a particularly male-dominated world, and not to say that regular world isn't, but the job that I had or the career that I had was dominated by men. And so what I would do is minimize my feminine being a lot of times so I could kind of fit in with them.
I totally understand what you're talking about. I was in industry myself, and I used to wear suits and ties. And my hair was really short. And I tried to keep myself under wraps. I think this is where you're going with this.
Yes.
And I think our listeners will, some of them will understand this. I kept myself under wraps because I felt like if the guys, I used to call them the cowboys, if the cowboys really knew who I was.
Yes.
As an erotic being, as a sexual being, like the full-on kind of out-of-control craziness that I could be. And I don't mean like craziness like being mentally ill. I mean just like the real fun that I was, the real sensuality that I was. I felt like they wouldn't have hired me in that job and they wouldn't have given me so much credibility and importance in that company. Is that kind of what you're talking about? Like you kept yourself under wraps like that too?
Yeah, and that just reminds me of a saying a cowboy told me one time, and this speaks to exactly what the way I live my life. And he says, we were at a sale barn one, and he said, that horse is pretty. I like that horse. And I thought that was interesting. I said, why does it matter if you have a pretty horse out in the range? Who cares? He says, well, it's come to my understanding that you got to feed both horses. One's just prettier to look at. And and what that said is that who – I want, when I see a man, I want him to be his full masculine self. I don't want him to minimize the corners and you know, hide behind his shadow and pretend he's something other than he is so that he thinks he's fitting in with me because I might be threatened by that. And I know for myself that I didn't always want to dress, like what you were saying, I want to fit in, but I didn't always want to dress as sexually as I felt. I'm not talking about, like, really low-cut things, but something that maybe fits my body a little bit more comfortably and it's not like baggy or, you know, something that makes me feel pretty, basically, or sexy or whatever. I didn't want to dress like that because I didn't know what to do with male attention because I knew...
But there was another element of this, too, which has to do with being taken seriously in the workplace.
Yes.
I mean, I think...
What I've learned about that is the more I step into my own highest authority, my clothes don't wear me. I wear my clothes. I am who I am. I can, and of course I dress appropriately. I'm not going to, you know, wear a bikini to a business meeting. But I also know that if I feel good in what I'm wearing, my attitude, my confidence is going to be beaming versus if I'm not particularly comfortable and I want to fit in and there's a sense of authenticity that comes along with stepping into your feminine that for me, I'm not afraid to be who I am anymore and still live my life with integrity and honor.
Okay. I mean, it's, you know, listen, it's a little bit, what can I say? It's a little hard to pin down exactly what you mean, but I think we're getting here. It's kind of, there was a movement. There was a whole movement when feminism came in. There was a whole movement to be equal to and just yes. like men. That was in the late 60s, the early 70s. And feminism, I think, I still want to go right, you know, in our next segment, I want to go into the, you know, trade-off and pay
yes.
for sex kind of thing. But defining it, I think, takes something. I think there's a new wave of feminism which has to do with really being a woman in fully empowered and not being like a man, not having to prove or hide the feminine aspects of one's body or the feminine aspects of one's personality and still be taken seriously.
Yes.
By myself, I think by yourself, what you're saying, and by the world at large.
Absolutely. I totally yeah. agree with that.
Yeah. We're just going to take a break here for a moment. And when we come back, we're actually going to talk some more about this whole trade-off for services. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Sex and Happiness. I'm Laurie Handler, your host. My guest today is Bhakti Ayada, and we're talking about sex and happiness. We're talking about an aspect of being trained in erotic arts or being having experiences with erotic arts and possibly needing to be consciously looking to pay for that or what we trade for that. And we're taking it from there. So stay tuned. We'll be right back and we'll be talking some more about that subject.
Wondering what book you should read to jumpstart your sex life and increase your happiness? Try my book, Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy by me, Laurie Handlers. This short, easy-to-read book will make you laugh at yourself and it may possibly make you cry as you discover my tantric secrets for happiness and how they apply to you. In the book, I begin with the 10th law, make love in the unknown. And then I work you all the way through laws 1 through 9 to teach you how to be in the unknown, fresh, every moment of every day of your life. Sex and Happiness puts the innocence and love back into sex and gives Tantra the respect it deserves. It's only $19.99 in paperback and $14.99 ebook. Go to sexandhappiness.com to order your copy of Sex and Happiness by me, Laurie Handlers, the host of Tantra Cafe.
Are you in pain or unable to sleep? Ever hear about how the body needs glutathione? Could you use a boost of energy in your life? There are a variety of life wave patches to choose from. Each one of them is like a small band-aid designed to help your body with the challenges of life, from lifestyle or simply not getting enough of what your body needs. You can even use these amazing patches on your pets. Go to Life Wave for Pets and People on Facebook and see Suzanne Summers' interview with Dr. David Schmidt about patches and how they reduce stress and inflammation while increasing energy. Or you can call Valerie at 714-928-6399. That's 714-928-6399 to find out how you can order your patches or consider becoming an independent Life Wave distributor. Well, we're back with Sex and Happiness, and I'm Laurie Handlers, your host. I'm here today with Bhakti Ayada, and I want to let you know that you can email me at sexandhappiness@gmail.com if you have any questions ever about any of my guests or any of the programs I'm doing or you want to make suggestions. I love hearing from you. I love fan mail from you. Of course, you can follow me on Facebook or Twitter. That's Laurie Handlers on Facebook or Twitter. Write it to me and let me know what you want to hear on this show because I love catering to you. Why wouldn't I? You're what makes this show possible. Well, Bhakti, we were talking about that whole feminine, you know, what happened to with feminism. And I want to jump to this whole question of trading off for sex. What really is this all about? I've often thought that I used to, you know, fight with my mother because I never wanted to get married. And my mother would always say, you know, well, you're having sex outside of marriage. And I would go, yeah, I am. And you're having sex inside of marriage. And all you did was trade, you know, your sexuality for security. And I'm not doing that. I feel secure and I'm going to have sex when I want to. And I don't need security from a marriage. And my mother would get very mad and I would say, look at Jacqueline Bouvier, Jacqueline Kennedy, Jacqueline Onassis. She keeps trading for money in the families that she's marrying into. There's a trade-off there. And, you know, my mother would stop talking to me. So so tell me, what inspired you to write that blog piece about, you know, and what's the point really about this whole trade-off thing?
Well, we trade all the time, and one of my teachers was sharing with me about energy exchange, and he said, you want fair trade agreements because they're one for one. You walk away feeling satisfied and fulfilled and happy. And the ones that are unfair trade agreements, those units go something like 1,000 to 1 unit when they're unfair. You could use any equivalent, but with that reference, I realized, oh, that's when I'm tired and exhausted and I don't feel like it was necessarily a fair trade agreement. And we do that with energy all the time. I mean, I was teaching Tantra power exchange. What does power exchange look like and why do we trade those things? Because we have to. We're not islands to ourselves. So we have to have these trade agreements on a regular basis, emotionally, sexually, physically. You know, we need food. We need, you know, to anything to keep us alive. We need our basic fundamentals, but also we need to have interaction with other people. We're not meant to live individually alone. And so every one of those trade agreements goes in, it went deeper and deeper. And it was sparked by a conversation, you know, I was sort of musing on something and I'm reading a couple different books. And there is a woman in there she calls herself a call girl and she's an active prostitute. And I wanted to know what was her thinking behind that and what was her philosophy. And so she sparked some of this thought process too. Anyway, I was at a party not too long ago, and it was for temple dance. And one of the things I wanted to point out to the women that call themselves priestesses in my circle, which is sort of this closed, well, it's sort of a secret society, kind of, but they're like Western geisha. So it would take a conversation for me to explain exactly how we are in this world and who we are. But with that said, we've trained in a lot of different areas, and this party happened to be about temple dance. Women who express their sexuality and their sensuality through their full body in a dance, whatever that looks like. So this man was going to the party for a swingers party because that's where they usually held them. So he was a little confused about what was the environment, and he'd purchased some tickets for a temple dance, and he's standing there, and we're talking, and he asked me what I did, and I told him I was a priestess, and of course he wants to know what that is. And so I you know, gave him a little bit of background, and then it finally gets to the point. He says, so you trade sex for money, is that right? And I said, no, that's not right. I give counsel about your sexual nature, and I also do practicum. And he couldn't get it in his head, because there was, at the point of the education, there was a trade that he had to give actual currency. And he didn't understand that. And I said, so I changed the subject, you know, trying to get a different perspective on the situation. I asked him what he was doing and who he was and all these things. Turns out, you know, he's a relatively average looking man, not great looking, not bad looking, just average. And he goes to these swingers parties, and he shows me this picture of his wife, who's amazing and beautiful. And, you know, just this little picture he shows me. And he said that they swap partners a lot of the time, and his wife loves to do this. I said, oh, interesting. And I said, so occasionally do you swap so that your wife is happy, because she, you know, this makes her happy and she loves to do that? He goes, occasionally. And he goes on to tell me the story of swapping with his partner, and he wasn't really attracted to the female of the partnership, but he took her anyway. I said, oh, curious.
So I'm getting this. I'm following this. You mean he traded partners and took up with a woman that he wasn't attracted to, sort of in payment? Like, he did that. He tolerated that. He was willing to do that so his wife could be happy with another?
With the other man. Yep, exactly. Because she was very enamored with this man. And I said, so let me get this right. So you took one for the team? His eyes sparked up a little bit, and he goes, yeah, I guess I did. And then I kind of let that hang, and a little while later, he was playing with his tickets, and I says, why don't you redeem your tickets over there? My sister's dancing, and go get a dance from her. And he's like, I don't ever pay. I just don't pay. And I thought, you haven't gotten it yet. You just told me that you did. You paid. You traded your emotional well-being, your desire, for the well-being and desire of your wife, which is perfectly fine. But because it doesn't have anything to do with actual money, he doesn't see that trade as unfair.
Well, I see what you're saying. Maybe we could bring this, though, to something like if a man buys a woman X amount of dinners.
Yes, indeed. And that's where I was going with that. That's about that same blog I was going into. And I've asked other men, too, how many dinners does it take? And what's your goal when you take a woman out to dinner? Is your goal to be more physically intimate? Well, if I'm attracted to her, of course, that's their response. Yeah, I want to. And I said, so you're willing to pay for dinner so that you could have the opportunity to be more physically intimate. Is that right? Yes. And how often does that pay off for you? How often does that work out for you? You know, how many guys complain about taking women out for dinner and that nothing ever happens? I'm like, oh, so you're trading dinner. But that's how little they think of women, that women are willing to trade dinner to allow a man to touch her physically. Now, we're not talking about the emotional aspect of it. We're just talking about the physical aspect, the trade. So
right.
A dinner, a $50 or $100 or even $200 dinner, but average for the first date under $100 or so, right, if you're not including drinks. So that's what he thinks of this woman. The underlying message that he's giving to this woman is that you're worth this dinner. My ability to touch your body is worth this dinner. Now, I think it's a little different. Like, that's the message that's coming across, because we talk about this publicly. Most people are, you know, they'll argue me or this, but if you take each individual sex, the male and the female, and you talk about that with them, I've heard them say that to me individually, but not in the presence of each other.
So you mean it's like a secret?
Kinda, I think so.
It's like one of these, it's like the rules of engagement. I think we're talking about the rules of engagement here. It's like an unspoken.
Yes.
It's spoken. What you're saying is it's spoken with women and women.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's spoken with men and women, but not the women they're trying to seduce.
Ever.
Men talk about it too, I'm sure, you know. So it's like the terms of engagement. So actually what you're speaking about is getting honest and in integrity with for individuals. What you were asking this man is, what are your terms of engagement, and are you willing to face the truth about them?
Yes, the one at the party, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was absolutely not willing to look at that. But, you know, we've traded, we've done this. Women have had dowries for thousands of years. They've had leverage to them.
Right, right.
You know, their fathers prompt them, you know, put them up, and they say, well, this is what this woman is basically worth. And so that's never been in question as far as, like,
paying
for your wife. And but here's the other part that I wanted
to... We just need to pause here for a second. When we come back, we're going to get right into this next piece about dowries and trade. And this is great. I mean, it's deep. It's really deep. And even though people aren't consciously aware of it, perhaps now, in current time, it's important to look at. So we'll be right back. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Sex and Happiness. I'm Laurie Handlers, your host. I'm talking to Bhakti Iyada, who is shedding some amazing light on our practices of sexuality, our mating rituals, if you will, about what they cost us. And we're going to come back and look at it in even further depth. So please stay tuned.
Have you ever wished for an end to pests in and around your home, around your office? Stop paying for dangerous chemicals that can harm your children, your pets, and your clients. Today in Arizona and Florida, an environmentally responsible pest control company named Ladybug has set up shop to provide natural and organic pest control services. Ladybug can help you stop even the most persistent, nastiest bugs with green, organic products that are friendly to people and pets. In addition, there are franchise opportunities in Arizona, Florida, and throughout the USA. To learn more about Ladybug's home-friendly and earth-smart green pest control services, visit the Ladybug website at ladybugcorp.com or call us at 561-276-7600. Ladybug guarantees you another eco-friendly, pest-free day, naturally.
Hi, we're back with Sex and Happiness, and this is Lori Handlers. I want to let you know that Tantric Tourists, which is a film that I star in where I take tourists to India to learn about spiritual enlightenment. It's a hysterical documentary. We've been calling it a mockumentary. Just want to let you know that you can now order it. You can purchase the DVD from the Facebook Tantric Tourists fan page. And I encourage you to go there and order your copy of it. It's really, really hysterical, especially if you'd like to know about India. And then, of course, if you'd like to know what it is like to travel with me, just go to the Facebook fan page for Tantric Tourists and order your copy. I believe you can still get a discount there if you go. So we're back, and we're talking about trading, trade-offs, currency for sex. And my guest, Bhakti, is really has looked at this subject in depth. So you were just, right before we broke, you were just about to make a point about some aspect of this terms of engagement. Do you remember what it was?
Yeah, I was talking about dowries. We've been trading for a very long time, and I think, you know, everybody, we always trade. There's always a trade, and it matters about how clear you are with that trade when you engage in the situation. And I know for me, when I was married for a long time, that it would help placate my marriage if I just had sex and stopped resisting that, right? Well, the trade was, if I keep quiet and have sex, have sexual interaction, mate with my partner, the idea in me was that he's going to stop pestering me and my life will be a little bit more peaceful. There's a clear and evident trade right there.
So do you? I mean, when you say that, it's that conjures images of women really wanting to just get over the sex act. You know, like at some point, I saw, what was her name, Wanda Sykes on TV on some special, and she was talking about older men getting Viagra. She was saying that women, just when they're old enough and the men are old enough and they don't have to do sex anymore, these men come home from the doctor with Viagra, and then the women go, oh, no.
Right.
I have to keep having sex with this guy. I've been married to him for so long, and I just don't want to have sex anymore. And Wanda's point was, you know, that every man who gets prescribed Viagra should have at least three women who say, who verify that they want to have sex with him.
Yes.
But that's so skewed. I mean, it's almost making like we as women don't want to have sex, and we do.
We do, but not in the old, not in the redundant way. And that leads me to my other, that I wanted to mention, is that we need new tools. We need new, that's why some of us study the erotic arts, because we love sex. Who doesn't love sex? I mean, seriously, the moment that you connect with another human being and all the things that go up to it is a wonderful expression. That's part of the deeper motivation of everything we do. But just to have, like, let's just say, have regular missionary sex, who wants that day in and day out?
I certainly That's like eating the same food every single day.
Right. Right.
So I hear what you're saying. So let's talk a little bit about what a high priestess does, because this is like a bridge into like what you really teach people. Mm. What you really do with people. And there sounds like there's a money exchange.
Yeah.
So people have to really have an attitude adjustment. What we talked about in the first segment of the show, how I introduced you. it sounds like people need to have an attitude adjustment about what the price of sex really is. Whether they feel they're taking out currency like bills, dollar bills for it, or what they're trading, like if it's dinner or having going off with another woman to have your wife be happy with another man.
Yes.
So what actually, if somebody were to come to you or any of the sisters that you're talking about, any of these high priestesses, because there are other high priestesses around, I know, in the United States, who are not necessarily talking about sexual arts. They're talking more about shamanic healing and rituals and doing ceremonies that have to do with, you know, cutting emotional cords to other people, you know, all kinds of different things. But you're talking about some very specific things, and they may involve what I just mentioned, doing ceremonies for other kinds of emotional attachments and things.
Yes, we do all that and the erotic arts.
So if somebody, who would be a person, who would be, if you have a typical kind of a person, who would be a kind of person that would seek you out?
Someone who's on the other side of a divorce, doesn't really understand what happened, and it maybe not be completely ready to have interaction with, you know, dating's fine, but not have interaction, because they don't want to trade the idea of a relationship, which women you're usually trying to trade to get into a sexual relationship. They want a relationship. Men don't necessarily want to trade that. They don't want to be responsible to a relationship in order to have sexual interaction. And when I say sexual interaction, that means moving the energy through your body in a tantric way, using breath, using muscle control, using things like that to make your body more awake towards your sexual nature, which means then you can take it out, not just in the bedroom, but you can take it out to the rest of the world, and your body is much more awake because you're not afraid of your sexual nature, bringing light into that area. And whatever that looks like for each person is different. It could be one person just has a foot fetish, and all they really want to know is, how can I embrace that so I'm not ashamed of it anymore? Or another typical man would be, I've gone to my wife over and over again. She doesn't want to have sex with me, and I don't know what else to do. That's usually the story. With or without her permission, he'll come and find a priestess and want to learn what he can. And he'll take those techniques, different ways to create environment, different ways to create desire and wield that art. Learn to be an artist with your desire, and to create and send messages to his wife. So not literal messages, but send messages by lighting candles or preparing a dinner or doing whatever, and then starting to court her a little bit and bring her, get her to fall in desire with him again, and then having something new to bring to the table so they just don't do the missionary thing all the time. So whatever that looks like, there's guys that have been dating for a long time and they just haven't found the right woman, and they don't want to trade the idea of who they really want for this something that's okay so they can get their needs met as far as the connection. People want to feel skin on skin, feel the connection, even if it's just for a hug, an extended hug, or learning breath play, or sitting, or having somebody really listen to them that doesn't have an agenda or any reason to bring their own personal stuff into the room.
What does breath play mean?
Tantric breath play, where sharing breath back and forth. One breathes out, the other breathes in. You sit in a tantric position.
Yes.
So.
Okay, I just wanted to clarify that because, I you and I know what we're saying, but not everybody knows what we're saying. So this would be, it sounds like it would be somebody who is longing for that connection because of one reason or another, and they're not necessarily wanting to get into a new or a relationship at all. So they might already have a relationship,
yes,
and they may have just lost a relationship through death or breakup or something, and they're wanting the connection with somebody who's willing to be connected with them. In a very intense way, not just going and having sex or lap dance somewhere or whatever. I want to get back to the temple dance thing though for a minute because, but am I on track here?
You are dead on track. Yeah, absolutely.
It's so when you said temple dance thing before, I just need to distinguish that between lap dancing at a strip club and temple dancing. Can you say a little word about that?
Yeah. There's a sense that I've gotten, and the distinction for me is that I see the goddess incarnate in a woman who is so alive in her own body. She's not trying to elicit anything from, but share her beauty with those people that are there to witness it. And that could be anything. It could be anyone. So it's not, you know, temple dance isn't, it definitely gives a distinction between that, you know, a strip bar or whatever. And I still see, I've gone there and I've seen goddesses. I've seen, you know, people embody the goddess too. They can do it there too. However, there is definitely a distinction. There isn't some solicitation from the dancer to the watchers, to the audience.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to stop here for a moment. When we come back, I want to talk about people becoming a better person, like a better man or a better woman from taking counsel with priestesses. Like, is that even a possibility? So that'll be what we talk about in our next segment. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Sex and Happiness. And I'm Laurie Hamlers, your host. We're talking with Bhakti Ayada today about what it is to be a high priestess and the kind of trade that people get into when they're actually wanting sex or having sex, like what the consequences are, the consciousness of a trade-off or some price. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Many times you've heard my guests and me discuss emotional release techniques. Now you can do emotional release work in the privacy of your own home. In my CD, Shamanic Release in Lati Han, I create a very, very safe and sacred space in which you can do the powerful work I'm known for in my Tantra courses. First, I set you up with the proper positioning and breathing, and then I guide you through emotional states to the beat of tribal African rhythms. Try the CD as an easy way to do your personal clearing work on a regular basis and watch your relationships walk free from emotional baggage. You can order my CD at butterflyworkshops.com. for only $20. I believe you're worth it. I hope you do. Go to butterflyworkshops.com and get your copy now and walk free from emotional baggage.
Well, we're back with Sex and Happiness. I'm Laurie Hamlers, your host, and I'd like you to consider losing weight up to a pound a day with no exercise required, with no hunger, without being on a restrictive diet for the rest of your life, with no unpleasant side effects. This sounds great, doesn't it? I did this, and I encourage you to do this. The solution is homeopathic HCG, and you can find out more about that at hormonenurse.com. That's HormoneNurse.com. Go there and find out how you can lose weight with HCG or replace your hormones with bioidenticals if you're at that age where you need hormone replacement. All this and more at hormonenurse.com. Also want to remind you to go to schooloftemplearts.com and find out more about the April 29th to May 1st Sex and Consciousness Conference, sponsored by the Sedona and Phoenix Temples. This conference takes place once a year in Sedona, and this year is the 10th anniversary. If you want to know more about temple arts, the kinds of things we're discussing on this show, more about your own sexuality and consciousness, or even becoming a sex educator, go to schooloftemplearts.com. Well, Bhakti, we are winding down to the kind of end of the show, and we've had quite a discussion here about sexuality and the trade-offs, and is your experience that people become better people if they come to see you? Like, what would it mean for somebody to come see you, and what improvements have you seen over time in some of the clients that you see or some of the people who visit you, men or women? What would you say would be a benefit to actually getting this conscious about your own sexuality and sensuality and eroticism?
Well, besides being overly happy in general.
Right? Does that have to do with sex and happiness?
Right. having just a more clear attitude and having awareness in their life and seeing amazing things happen in their life and not taking so much for granted, living a little bit more passionately for sure, but I've seen men become much more powerful in their business dealings, phenomenally powerful, and somehow center into some concept of themselves that is fully awake, where they're not denying parts of themselves. They really just embrace who they are. I've seen people lose weight up to 65 pounds. One of my sisters, her client, he lost 65 pounds, and he came in very, you know, sort of down and undirected, and brilliant, beautiful human being, and awake, just awake, and not afraid to be who he is. A lot of people are laughing more. Some people get into relationships. They stop seeing us because they found what they wanted. We set a template for them and said, this is what it feels like. You get to love me for however that looks for you without a lot of responsibility, but just to feel it, feel loved. Because each relationship is about sincerity and authenticity. It really is about cultivating a direct connection with that person. If there isn't one there, then there isn't really an opportunity to work together. Which is really rare. The universe is interesting like that, how it'll pull and attract the right people for the right situations. But I think that's important, that if you've never had a healthy relationship in your life and you really don't know what it feels like to be in an honorable relationship, somebody that can bring integrity to the table without a lot of, you know, process work or things like that, have that clean mirror for someone, you can't go out and manifest it into the world as easily as if, oh, I've got a little taste to this. I know what it tastes like. I know what it feels like. I sense it now. Even though it might not look like that person, I can feel a little bit of the same energy there. And then they're a little bit more clear about who to date and how to date. I mean, I've given a lot of dating suggestions. We've certainly have a lot of coaching and a lot of feedback into their life and reflection back into their life. The more I get to know people, the more I can help them see some of their shadow stuff too, so that they can live guilt-free, shame-free. And that's another thing that...
So, wait a second. It sounds like people actually pay you to become better men. Men pay you to become better men with women.
Yes, absolutely. And I do see couples too, and they come to me, which those are amazing situations. But yes, absolutely, become better men with women. Exactly.
Like better, more empowered. It's kind of like what you were saying earlier, like more empowered in their masculinity, what that means, what it means to be a man, and then what it means to be a man in relating to a woman or a women. Like what it is, what it's the age old, you know, it's kind of like the age old question of what do women want?
Yes.
They feel, it sounds like they feel more comfortable in their own skin to be who they are. Just like what you were saying before about women being more comfortable in their own skin to be who they are.
Yes, absolutely.
And so it sounds like everyone needs some of this.
Well, that's why I live my life like this, because I think it's true. But yeah, and I think... a level of authenticity gets brought to the table, because the one overriding desire that we have, and this is my fundamental philosophy on this, is, you know, we don't have the most powerful force in my person isn't to self-cultivate or masturbate. That's not the most powerful. My most powerful force is to be with another.
This is deep. You know, it's reminding me of the movie Dangerous Beauties. You know, the courtesans of Venice.
Yes.
What about, you know, and we only have like another minute or two, but what about the law or legal aspects of this? How does this come into play?
Yes, and I want to speak to that really quickly. The difference between it is there's no guarantees. It's really based on an attraction to each other. And that's why we call ourselves priests. We're cultivating a religion around what we do in order to render to Caesar unto Caesar, and that's the law of the land. In exchange for any sexual act, in exchange for any kind of currency, unless you give it to me in the form of a dinner, it's illegal.
Right, or roses.
Or car, or whatever. Material thing.
Right.
Yeah. So in order to have this, in order for us to keep ourselves safe in our spiritual practice, we're cultivating a religion around it because we really do follow this. This is how we live our life. This is how we feel we're connected to the universe. This is our path to, if you will, God. Not that I like to use that, God, goddess, but the universal mind, the greatest connection to the world. This is our path. And all we're doing is help clearing the paths of other people so that they can get to their greatest connection too. And that there's no guarantee of any sexual act in any encounter ever. There's been times when people come and all they really need is for me to hold them and they want to talk or cry or they ask me questions or it just really is, it's wide and varied. But there's a need for it. And there's been temple priestesses throughout history for thousands of years. Men have had the same behavior. So it's in our cultural psyche. It is, whether we like it or not, it's in our psyche and it's in our archetypes. And there's a need for a priestess to hold that space for a man to understand, or a woman, but to understand your sexual nature. And who guides you better to do that than someone who actually studies it and lives their life like that?
Great. It's a great point. It's a great point. Well, I thank you, Bhakti Ayada, for being on my show today, for being on Sex and Happiness. I think you've thoroughly explained a whole new way, you know, a new way of seeing our relationship to being educated in erotic arts and in our own sexuality and probably, you know, why it's so important, that because we're sort of, we're dumbfounded by our own sexuality is the truth. And we could be so much happier if we could just own it.
Yes.
So it's great. Thank you so much for being my guest. How can people get in touch with you if they want to find you, if they want to find out more about you?
They can go to priestessbhakti.com or priestessbhakti@yahoo.com.
So that would be priestessbhakti, BHAKTI, priestessbhakti@yahoo.com. Is that what you said?
Uh-huh. Or just .com, because that's my website as well.
Okay. priestessbhakti, BHAKTI.com. Thank you so much for being on Sex and Happiness.
Thank you, Lori.
You're welcome. I want to remind everybody you can follow me, Lori Handlers, on Facebook or Twitter. You can send me emails at sexandhappiness@gmail.com. Please send me your fan mail letting me know which shows you prefer, what else you want me to talk about on the show. I love hearing from you. Next week, more about sex and happiness. We're going to be talking to a few experts about physical immortality, what it is to extend life into the forever, and how that would extend your sex and increase your happiness. So please come back next time for Sex and Happiness. This is Lori Handler signing off. Until next time, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for joining us today for Sex and Happiness. To learn more about Lori and her work, please go to butterflyworkshops.com or follow her on Twitter or Facebook. You can send her an email at sexandhappiness@gmail.com. And if you'd like to listen to podcasts of Lori's previous show, Tantra Cafe, please go to tantracafe.com. We'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Sex and Happiness. Want you to make-